Welcome in to another Saturday in Woods and Water, South Carolina. My name is Roger Metz, and I'm joined by my co-host...
Taylor Metz.
Yes, we are related. She is my daughter. On some days, I claim her.
Oh, really?
Well, welcome in. Hope you had a great week. Hey, did anybody get outside Tuesday morning? Kind of early-ish?
No.
Oh, it was about 63 degrees. Little breeze coming through. Sky was clear.
Fall time.
Started me thinking about fall.
Although I don't think it's really here. I think that's they're just.
Oh, it's not here. Oh, no, it's not here.
That's in between summer one and summer two. They're fooling you that it's fall and then summer comes back.
I got to find that thing where it talks about the seasons in South Carolina. It's around here somewhere. I'll have to pin that one down.
They need to add the deployment of the South Carolina Air Force somewhere in there.
Look, the South Carolina Air Force has been active already this year. Seriously, if you're outside any in places I normally have never had a problem with mosquitoes, I'm having a problem with mosquitoes. I only have 4 thermocells. I don't have any more I can run at one time.
What's she going to need them for, Dad?
What now?
What's coming up that you're going to need them for?
Thermocells. I really actually don't even use them anymore.
Well, but what would you need them for? It's coming up soon.
I don't know. Tell me.
Ugh, my favorite part.
Go ahead.
Deer season.
Deer season.
Get excited, y'all.
See, I get excited about dove season first. Then it's deer season.
See, I mean, I get...
And the fact that I haven't even picked up my bow yet...
It's scary.
Is...
Yeah.
It's not good. It's really not good.
So my thing is I'm super excited for deer season because I feel like I haven't seen a deer in forever. We saw one on the side of the road the other day, and I'm sweating.
Almost in downtown Greer. Downtown Greer. Highway 14. It's like a small 6, maybe a medium-sized 6.
There's one gas station right there.
And he just walks out of the woods behind the gas station with 4 lanes of traffic.
I was like, it's a deer.
He knows he's safe. But, yeah, it is deer season coming up. And speaking of deer season, we're starting to – August is traditionally get ready for deer season and into September and all. So we're going to – I've already started that. We're going to talk to Dr. Grant Woods about deer hunting. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but – but he said he's ready and to jump on the line with us. We're going to talk to Jerry Widener from Hunter Safety Systems about staying safe in a tree stand. You know, wear your harness, hook up to a lifeline type thing. Trying to think who else I've talked to. Philip with the Lima Shield is going to come on and talk about scent suppression, or actually scent annihilation. It's not suppression, it's annihilation. Philip's really good. And Lima Shield is a really good product,
which is
one reason he can't say this. But about the mosquitoes, I don't use my thermocells near as much because of the Lima Shield.
Some kind of chemical in there.
Well, it's just the way it eradicates odors and anyway. But yeah, so we're gonna roll through some deer hunting topics over the next 2 months, probably, maybe even longer. Got a bunch of articles, a bunch of topics we're gonna cover from. We'll get to those later. But yeah, gonna have a good time talking about deer hunting. And we'll always mix in the other stuff. As things come up, that's why we never can get through a lot of the stuff we have to get through because
there's so much
and there's pertinent things that pop up like South Carolina 7 that took a lot of time. But it was really good stuff.
It was very good.
And so when the good things come up, I don't mind putting the normal calendar on hold and covering it because it's time is of the essence in some things.
And we're hoping to get Tom Mulligan and maybe some other guests from South Carolina 7 on the show.
Yeah, Tom is it's going to be an interesting one because Tom comes at things from an environmental angle. But I don't think it's that radical environmental agenda. I don't think he toes that. I don't know. But, hey, look, the guy's earned my respect. He wants to come on and talk. I'm going to give him the time. So we're going to have a good time with that. Hey, really nice guy.
Really nice.
I enjoyed getting to know him. But anyway, enough rambling, trying to get things. But we are going to talk to Tony Gray He is the Bass Nation High School College Director for South Carolina. There's a third high school tournament trail. We have the High School Bass Challenge in the Lowcountry. We have the Palmetto Boat Center. And we've talked to Marty and those at Palmetto before, and this is a new one that's come up. Partial in response to COVID-19 concerns from parents and the kids that want to get out there and fish. So, yeah, we're going to talk about that. I've given him some time. Don't know how long it's going to take exactly, but we'll just roll with it and cover it good, because we did attend an interest meeting. I know there's another homeschool association that has an interest meeting scheduled, so now's the time.
It is.
So we're going to talk about that. But, yeah, we got a few calendar events items. Mm-hmm. I guess, are you going first?
I'm going first.
Your lady's first.
I'm
okay.
Going for this
time. All right, go ahead.
What?
The calendar.
Oh, you're supposed to do that.
Oh, okay. Brought to you by Visit Hamilton Green Pond Landing Event Center. Well, you sometimes you jump in there and start.
You're pushing all this responsibility on me, Dad. Gum.
Time you learn some.
You saying you hadn't taught me anything?
Oh, I've tried to teach you some.
You tried.
This hasn't taken yet.
Okay, whatever. This is some dates for Private Land Deer Youth Days. They are coming up, folks, and I'm very excited.
Today's one of them.
It is. I was just looking at that. I was like, well, so if you are in game zones 3 and 4.
Today is your youth day.
Your day. August 8th.
Scramble, find somebody. Sundown is like 8 o'clock.
Go, people, go. Go,
go, go, go.
What are you doing sitting here listening to the show? Go.
No, let them listen to the show, then they can go afterwards.
Okay.
It's hot down there, too.
It is hot.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
Game Zone 2, yes. Saturday, September 12th. Game Zone 1, Saturday, September 26th. There are some regulations. If you have not taken a youth out on a youth day before, here are some of your regulations. For youth 17 years old and younger, those are youth days. Youth hunters who have not completed their hunter education program must be accompanied by an adult at least 21 years of age. There are no license or tags required for youth or adult on this designated day.
Okay.
Adults may guide, however, that only the youth may take or attempt to take the deer. Guns, permitted weapons, or archery equipment is allowed. Antler deer only, bag limit 1.
And games on 1 youth day is when?
Games on 1 youth day is September 26th.
Oh, did you say that?
I did say that.
Oh, I must have
missed
that.
I went through all the dates.
I was asleep. Have you done your hunter education course yet, Taylor?
I attempted to, and then I got on the website. I said, 8 hours.
That's not easy. Yeah, you'll have to do it.
I'm gonna do it.
You will, because you won't hunt come out.
No, I won't. I'm very motivated.
Palmetto Shooting Complex. They're gonna do a state shoot warm up. $75 includes fish fry.
Ooh.
That's Edgefield, South Carolina, right there close to National Wild Turkey Federation. Target set by Jeff Montjoy and Jim Tolleson. 100 registered targets include target fees, 25 back to class winner, 50%, 30%, 20% payout for first, second, and third. It's a European rotation, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Register at scoringpro.com. It's a benefit fun shoot in connection with Call for All for the National Wild Turkey Federation. You can sponsor a team of 4 shooters for $500. Fish fries from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And if you need to call the Palmetto Shooting Complex, it's 803-637-7480.
We've got deer lottery applications closing soon. They close August 15th at 5 p.m. If you've not already applied, this is a reminder. These opportunities will cover Bear Island, Donnelly, and Bonu Ferry, some of the hunting opportunities here. So if you need more information on that, go to South Carolina Department of Natural Resources website. Whew, I think I got through that.
Yeah.
By the time we have to start the music.
I forgot to start the music right, so...
Oh,
this is
going to
end a little bit differently, but anyway, y'all hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. And welcome back to another segment of Woods and Water, South Carolina, Taylor. Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to say anything.
We're not even going to go there.
No, we're not.
I'm not even going to go there.
I got more important things.
More important things. Being more important things is a first-time guest of the show today. Mr. Tony Gray is South Carolina Bass Nation Youth Series College High School Director. I think I got it all in there, Tony. But welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Glad to be here, Roger.
Sir, high school fishing, would you say that it's probably the fastest growing sport and has been for the past 5, maybe 10 years?
Absolutely. First of all, let me thank you for the opportunity to be on the show today.
Certainly.
To share with everyone the sport of high school bass fishing here in South Carolina. High school bass fishing is the fastest growing school sport across America, with 16,000 plus student anglers competing on state and national level, ultimately qualifying for the Bassmaster High School National Championship Tournament held annually through Bassmaster. The program's mission is to promote education through bass fishing using everyday math, science, and conservation studies. South Carolina is currently fourth in the nation based on academics, conservation, and tournament skills, and is deeply rich in talented student anglers with approximately 512 teams from all regions of South Carolina, from the upstate to the lower state. Currently, South Carolina offers two well-organized tournament trails, that being the Palmetto Boat Center High School Fishing Trail and the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge. We hold monthly tournaments throughout the scheduled school calendar year. Teams have an opportunity to fish for team awards as well as team points that decides how and who will qualify for the Bassmaster National Championship. South Carolina is rich in talent. We are also a national championship title recipient in 2017 from South Florence High School.
That's right.
And most recently, the Gilbert Bass Anglers just won the world title up on the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
So as youth director for the South Carolina Bass Federation, it's an honor to lead this movement across South Carolina and to see student anglers excel and learn in a competitive and positive environment. As youth director, it has always been my goal on how we can bring unity between the two trails. So the season ending 2019-2020 school season, we held a tournament, the first annual Battle of the Carolina tournament, where we brought in both states' top 25 high school teams,
okay,
and top 5 junior teams in a tournament. And we had championship belts, and the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge junior division took the championship there, and the Palmetto Boat Center took the high school championship. But we all won that day. It gave us an opportunity to come together as one in unity. And that was one word that we learned in the conference last year. What do states do that have multiple trails to knock the barrier down where we become one, right, in the fishing industry? Another good thing exciting happening for this upcoming season is,
yes,
we are going to introduce a third trail for South Carolina student anglers, an opportunity to participate, which is an extra incentive to compete more and qualify for the nationals.
Okay.
Nationals are based on 100, one spot per 100 members. And with the amount that South Carolina has, and we're continuing to grow, with memberships, yeah, I felt that it was valuable to put this, trail in the middle of the state and fish from the middle of the state up and over across the upstate, mm-hmm, and give each student in both trails an opportunity to fish together in unity, to make South Carolina bigger and better. South Carolina sits fourth in the nation. I'm a leader, okay, and my goal is to try to get us to number one. And doing all these extra events and making sure that their academics stay up and getting these kids involved in a positive environment setting when they come to the competition. You know, this day and time, the way the world is, all the positive we can put in these young kids' minds is great. Everyone wins when we all do that together.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we all win when we're outside together, too.
Correct.
No replacing the outdoors when it comes to having fun and clearing your head.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, I saw your release on Monday about this new trail. Can you take us through the new trail, what it requires for membership, how you fish it, how much it costs, and talk just a little bit about the lakes, because y'all are going to hit a bunch of lakes.
Yes. So right now, each student is required to have a Bassmaster National membership, which is a $10 membership. They're also required to have a Bass Nation membership,
okay,
which is another $10. And that gets them coverage on the million-dollar liability okay policy that we have on these kids on tournament day. And then South Carolina is an affiliated state within the Bassmaster organization. So for the state championship, we have to pay an additional $20 for them to be able to participate in that tournament. So for $40, your child is invested in Bassmaster. They've invested in the high school and junior division fishing program, and totally within the state. So we just had our state championship last weekend and had a great turnout. But that's all it takes, $40, and they're in.
They're in. All volunteer. You don't have to, with the Palmetto Boat Center trail, which has grown and grown, your tournament trail, which has grown and grown, the difference here is you don't have to be affiliated with a certain school fishing team.
The new trail, we've eliminated that part. A lot had to do with the COVID-19 pandemic. Some right schools were on shutdown, but some parents wanted their kids to be able to fish through the summer and going into the new school season. So this third trail is a little bit more leeway where the kids can join up with other kids and be able to compete outside of the school rulings. So it's just a great opportunity, and it's totally voluntary for the anglers. We're going to make it happen, and I think they'll come.
I believe they will, because those kids – man, they want to fish.
And, with the kids in the lower state, Lake Murray has always been the dividing line between the two trails. And the kids that fish the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge, they want to explore other lakes. And with the Palmetto Boat Center, as large as it is, it's no way to effectively let these kids get involved with that trail. And cause we don't want to take away from the kids in the upstate an
sure
opportunity to fish their
yeah
prospective trail. So this new trail is going to allow kids from, both divisions to come and fish these new lakes. I am super excited as youth director, to be able to lead this movement across South Carolina. I'm excited for South Carolina with the new tournament trail, and I live and breathe fishing, and I want to be able to provide as much opportunity as I can, as long as the parents are able to support the kids fishing multiple weekends.
Right.
Again, it all has to go back on the parents. How much do you want to invest in your children's future?
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So for kids that may not know exactly what they're going to be getting into with high school bass fishing, I know I've never been on a team before. I have fished saltwater and freshwater. But I'm, with my work with Shimon, I've started doing more bass fishing. But if I was going on to a high school team for the first time, what do I need to be prepared for?
The most important thing is to remember that this is competitive high school bass fishing at its best. It is not your normal take a kid fishing Saturday event. Tournament day starts about 4:30 a.m. and we fish till 3 o'clock. We fish 8 hours for 5 fish. And you have to grind it out. I mean, it's a learning factor. I think the stamina to go the distance is the biggest challenge of the anglers, especially in the junior division. But boat captains do help, alleviate some of the stress by trying to coach and guide a new member through the process and just making sure that they have a good time. Usually the first year is a learning curve. Some kids fall out of the program during the middle of the season that this just wasn't for them. But then you got that core group that is just diehard competitive that they're going to learn from the mistakes that they make on the water and learn from not being able to catch a fish and getting around the camaraderie of the other kids and listening to them talk. You get out of a program what you put into the program. Right. And anyone new coming in, I would highly encourage them to ask any and all questions. I have found that these kids, they'll talk to you, but they're not going to tell you what to catch and fish of them. But one thing that I always encourage when I go to the schools to start up a new team is the kids always ask me, so what does school have to do with fishing? And my number one answer is homework. Yeah. If you don't do your homework on what lake you're fishing or what the fish are biting, you know, you're going to be behind the eight ball. So, well, we encourage them to get on YouTube. There's a lot of local information in the newspapers, fishing reports, all over South Carolina that will help them. And as youth director, I do try to guide them in the right direction. Uh-huh. Lucky for me, I am also a high school bass fishing coach down in Orangeburg. Started that 5 years ago, and then I started the trail, the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge, and now I'm youth director. So for me, it is very unique to wear multiple hats to be able to help a school or help a group to see things from all angles in getting into the sport. A lot of schools will come on with many teams.
Right.
And in the second year, they drop back to a few teams, but then they start building it. But I think it's very critical that we encourage any and everyone that's interested to take that first year approach and see if this is really what you want to do. And I'm telling you, these kids in South Carolina today, I would put them up against some of the best fishermen in South Carolina. That's how competitive it is right now. Not to be discouraged, though, because it's all a learning curve. We all have to start somewhere.
Yep. Well, let's take a quick break here. Come back. I want you to talk a little bit more about the interest meetings and stuff like that we did yesterday when we were talking. So hang on, folks. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to another segment of Woods and Water South Carolina, Taylor. Yeah, okay.
I'm not going to say
anything. We're not even going to go there.
No, we're not.
I'm not going to go there.
I got more important things to talk about.
More important things. Being more important things is a first-time guest of the show today. Mr. Tony Gray is South Carolina Bass Nation Youth Series College High School Director. I think I got it all in there, Tony. But welcome to Woods and Water South Carolina.
Glad to be here, Roger.
Sir, high school fishing, would you say that it's probably the fastest growing sport and has been for the past 5, maybe 10 years?
Absolutely. First of all, let me thank you for the opportunity to be on the show today.
Certainly.
To share with everyone the sport of high school bass fishing here in South Carolina. High school bass fishing is the fastest growing school sport across America with 16,000 plus student anglers competing on state and national level, ultimately qualifying for the Bassmaster High School National Championship Tournament held annually through Bassmaster. The program's mission is to promote education through bass fishing using everyday math, science, and conservation studies. South Carolina is currently fourth in the nation based on academics, conservation, and tournament skills, and is deeply rich in talented student anglers with approximately 512 teams from all regions of South Carolina, from the upstate to the lower state. Currently, South Carolina offers two well-organized tournament trails, that being the Palmetto Boat Center High School Fishing Trail and the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge. We hold monthly tournaments throughout the scheduled school calendar year. Teams have an opportunity to fish for team awards as well as team points that decides how and who will qualify for the Bassmaster National Championship. South Carolina is rich in talent, We are also a national championship title recipient in 2017 from South Florence High School.
That's right.
And most recently, the Gilbert Bass Anglers just won the world title up on the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
So as youth director for the South Carolina Bass Federation, it's an honor to lead this movement across South Carolina and to see student anglers excel and learn in a competitive and positive environment. As youth director, it has always been my goal on how we can bring unity between the two trails. So the season ending 2019-2020 school season, we held a tournament, the first annual Battle of the Carolina tournament, where we brought in both states' top 25 high school teams and top five junior teams in a tournament. And we had championship belts, and the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge junior division took the championship there, and the Palmetto Boat Center took the high school championship. But we all won that day. It gave us an opportunity to come together as one in unity. And that was one word that we learned in the conference last year. What do states do that have multiple trails to knock the barrier down where we become one right. in the fishing industry? Another good thing exciting happening for this upcoming season is we are going to introduce a third trail for South Carolina student anglers, an opportunity to participate, which is an extra incentive to compete more and qualify for the nationals.
Okay.
Nationals are based on 100, one spot per 100 members. And with the amount that South Carolina has, and we're continuing to grow, with memberships, I felt that it was valuable to put this, trail in the middle of the state and fish from the middle of the state up and over across the upstate and give each student in both trails an opportunity to fish together in unity, to make South Carolina bigger and better. South Carolina sits fourth in the nation. I'm a leader and my goal is to try to get us to number one, and doing all these extra events and making sure that their academics stay up and getting these kids, involved in a positive environment setting when they come to the competition. You know, this day and time, the way the world is, all the positive we can put in these young kids' minds is great. Everyone wins when we all do that together.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we all win when we're outside together, too.
Correct.
No replacing the outdoors when it comes to having fun and clearing your head.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, I saw your release on Monday about this new trail. Can you take us through the new trail, what it requires for membership, how you fish it, how much it costs, and talk just a little bit about the lakes, because y'all are going to hit a bunch of lakes.
Yes. So right now, each student is required to have a Bassmaster National membership, which is a $10 membership. They're also required to have a Bass Nation membership, which is another $10. And that gets them coverage under the $1 million liability policy that we have on these kids on tournament day. And then South Carolina is an affiliated state within the Bassmaster organization. So for the state championship, we have to pay an additional $20 for them to be able to participate in that tournament. So for $40, your child is invested in Bassmaster. They've invested in the high school and junior division fishing program, and totally within the state. So we just had our state championship last weekend and had a great turnout. But that's all it takes, $40, and they're in.
They're in. All volunteer. You don't have to, with the Palmetto Boat Center trail, which has grown and grown, your tournament trail, which has grown and grown, the difference here is you don't have to be affiliated with a certain school fishing team.
The new trail, we've eliminated that part. A lot had to do with the COVID-19 pandemic. Some schools were on shutdown, but some parents wanted their kids to be able to fish through the summer and going into the new school season. So this third trail is a little bit more leeway, where the kids can join up with other kids and be able to compete outside of the school rulings. So it's just a great opportunity, and it's totally voluntary for the anglers. We're going to make it happen, and I think they'll come.
I believe they will, because those kids, man, they want to fish.
And, you know, with the kids in the lower state, Lake Murray has always been the dividing line between the two trails, and the kids that fish the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge, they want to explore other lakes. And with the Palmetto Boat Center, as large as it is, it's no way to effectively let these kids get involved with that trail. And cause we don't want to take away from the kids in the upstate an opportunity to fish their respective trails. So this new trail is going to allow kids from, both divisions to come and fish these new lakes. I am super excited as youth director, to be able to lead this movement across South Carolina. I'm excited for South Carolina with the new tournament trail, and I live and breathe fishing, and I want to be able to provide as much opportunity as I can, as long as the parents are able to support the kids fishing multiple weekends.
Right.
Again, it all has to go back on the parents. How much do you want to invest in your children's future?
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So for kids that may not know exactly what they're going to be getting into with high school bass fishing, I know I've never been on a team before. I have fished saltwater and freshwater. But I'm, you know, with my work with Shimon, I've started doing more bass fishing. But if I was going on to a high school team for the first time, what do I need to be prepared? What do I need to be prepared for?
The most important thing is to remember that this is competitive high school bass fishing at its best. It is not your normal take a kid fishing Saturday event. Tournament day starts about 4:30 a.m. and we fish till 3 o'clock. We fish 8 hours for 5 fish. And you have to grind it out. I mean, it's a learning factor. I think the stamina to go the distance is the biggest challenge of the anglers, especially in the junior division. The boat captains do help, alleviate some of the stress by trying to coach and guide a new member through the process and just making sure that they have a good time. Usually the first year is a learning curve. Some kids fall out of the program during the middle of the season that this just wasn't for them. But then you got that core group that is just diehard competitive that, they're going to learn from the mistakes that they make on the water and learn from not being able to catch a fish and getting around the camaraderie of the other kids and listening to them talk. You get out of a program what you put into the program. Right. And anyone new coming in, I would highly encourage them to ask any and all questions. I have found that these kids, they'll talk to you, but they're not going to tell you what to catch and fish on them. But one thing that I always encourage when I go to the schools to start up a new team is the kids always ask me, so what does school have to do with fishing? And my number one answer is homework.
Yeah.
If you don't do your homework on what lake you're fishing or what the fish are biting, you know, you're going to be behind the eight ball. So, well, we encourage them to get on YouTube. There's a lot of local information in the newspapers, fishing reports, all over South Carolina that will help them. And as youth director, I do try to guide them in the right direction. Lucky for me, I am also a high school bass fishing coach down in Orangeburg. Started that 5 years ago, and then I started the trail, the South Carolina High School Bass Challenge, and now I'm youth director. So for me, it is very unique to wear multiple hats to be able to help a school or help a group to see things from all angles in getting into the sport. A lot of schools will come on with many teams.
Right.
And in the second year, they drop back to a few teams, but then they, they start building it. But I think it's very critical that we encourage any and everyone that's interested to take that first year approach and see if this is really what you want to do. And I'm telling you, these kids in South Carolina today, I would put them up against some of the best fishermen in South Carolina. That's how competitive it is right now. Not to be discouraged, though, because it's all a learning curve. We all have to start somewhere.
Yep. Well, let's take a quick break here. Come back. I want you to talk a little bit more about the interest meetings and stuff like that we did yesterday when we were talking. So hang on, folks. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side. The last segment of Woods and Water, South Carolina for another Saturday.
Gosh. I promise you, I'm working on bumper music.
You've been working on bumper music for a long time.
I'm working on it. Just trust me here, people.
Right.
I am.
Had something in the stack of papers over here I needed to get to. Youth hunting applications. They are available now for the youth deer hunts. They are available in a Microsoft Word or PDF format at the DNR website, scdnr.gov, .sc.gov, I believe it is. And then look under hunting or youth hunts or whatever. But anyway, there are youth hunts scattered across the state. There's a youth hunt. Region 1, it's a private land hunt, and applications are, for this one, due September 9th. I'm going to get these out there early because sometimes these do fill up, so I'm going to get these out there early, give you an opportunity to apply for them. So there's an upstate private youth hunt on the DNR website. Deadline for application is September the 9th. There's a Fance Grove youth deer hunt on September the 13th. There's a Belfast Wildlife Management Area. Fance Grove is over near Clemson. Belfast is down near going towards Greenwood, that area. September 13th, Congaree Bluffs Heritage Preserve has a deer hunt. That application is due September 13th, along with the Manchester State Forest application due September 13th. That's right down there next to down to Sumter, Shaw Air Force Base. That's Manchester State Forest. There's a youth deer hunt at Poinsett Electronic Combat Range. That application is due September 20th. That is actually a really cool place. Taylor, you've been there.
Mm-hmm, I have.
The Electronic Weapons Range.
Yep.
What did you see while you were there?
Oh, gosh.
Jet screaming by.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm trying
near eye level.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head around everything.
Zipping off. Machine gun rounds.
It sounds like a very loud zipper.
Yes.
Like,
that used to be a destination for people that came to Sumter, is to go to the Palmetto, the Poinsett Electronic Combat Range and watch the jets come through and all. They've closed it down now for security reasons. But I've been out there many times, and there is nothing quite like, let's see, the A-10 is probably the most, and this has got nothing to do, this is right in the middle of this thing, but anyway, the A-10, with that big cannon in the nose, is probably the most impressive gun to hear. Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely is. Even though it's low and slow and ugly, the hog, you know, it is just hearing that thing go off. And now, in those days, they would allow you up to the control tower.
That's where we went.
Where we went. And you step out and you're outside on a catwalk around it, and these jets are flying. Not quite. By the time they end their runs, they are almost eye level.
Yep.
And so you sit there. Yeah. I mean, and they're not, you know, they're eye level, and they're not more than probably, I don't know, 200 yards away?
Yeah.
150, 200 yards away to either side?
I'd say 150.
It'd make it all closer. I mean, it's pretty daggum close, yeah. But the A-10, the Gatlin on the front of an A-10 is an incredible thing. The F-16 is really cool.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite. F-15s are really neat. I've seen those there. But, yeah, it was open to the public.
as a little girl, when I went out.
Oh,
that,
yes.
I mean, as a little girl, growing up with the dad I have and the grandfather that I have, having me around airplanes my entire life, seeing it at eye level, actually
hold
in
your
action,
perspective.
I'm like, wow. I
and of course,
out.
And it's not as funny because you up at that high, you could see them coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're real low coming in. They do this pop up to gain altitude. They roll over. They come into their run, and then they do their evacuation, but their exit maneuvers or whatever.
If I'm not mistaken,
hard up, hard right, over roll left. It's yep. It's an impressive thing to watch.
I kind of felt like I was in I don't know if y'all ever watched the I think it was F-16s to that Bring Me to Life by Evan Evans
on
YouTube.
Yeah.
I grew up
There's
watching
some of that.
And I when I was there that day, I was like, I'm in a YouTube video.
Yeah. If you never had the opportunity, boy, just what an experience.
Honestly.
And I've done it. I started going out there in like 1993. And went out there for close to probably 20 years off and on. I think they closed it about, I don't know, 10 years ago maybe. Maybe less than 10 years ago. Yeah, it'd have been right, because you'd have been about 6 years old last time we were there. So anyway, I'm sorry. That's a youth deer hunter. 5 points at electronics. They will not be shooting live rounds when you're there deer hunting. They will not do that. There is a Watery River Heritage Preserve hunt. That application is due October 4th. And there's a Santee Cooper Wildlife Management Area Youth Hunt. That application is due by October 4th. The specific dates are in the applications. I don't have those here on the sheet that we print out, but the dates are in the application. So, opportunities for youth deer hunters to get out there and experience maybe, you know, low country hunt or somewhere you haven't hunted before or someplace that only gets hunted once or twice a year. So, opportunities abound, folks.
It is.
Go ahead, Taylor.
I just want to update y'all on the latest on the Great American Outdoors Act. It passed, and Donald Trump is ecstatic about it.
He is?
He is very. If y'all follow my outdoor account, I posted up his quote. Legislation I'm signing today builds on my administration's unwavering commitment to serving the splendor of God's creation. That right there is so exciting for hunters.
We need to get
hunters, fishermen, hikers, anybody that spends their time outdoors, to have your president comment like that on what y'all are trying to do, that is impressive. And that's a big step for us.
We need to get Don Jr. on. Not political.
It'd be fun.
Not political. I know I have a contact. I'm going to have to see if we can't get it. Talk about hunting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how's a kid growing up, you know, in New York? How does he hunt? I mean, what's that process?
He goes to Central Park and shoots birds with BB guns.
I don't know. Maybe so. If he does that, I got a whole new respect for him. No, we don't shoot anything we don't eat here, Taylor.
No, we don't.
So you have to define birds there. Yeah, but it passed, and it may not directly impact hunting or fishing,
but
it is the outdoors.
Yeah, it is.
And the backlog of repair work that we got to do in our national parks, which are some of our most treasured places to go, that needs to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So it is, I guess we'll do this one. 30 for 30. I haven't looked to see what happened yet. But the California was voting Wednesday, I believe, on the 30 by 30 bill in California. It's a global initiative to protect at least 30% of the world's oceans, lands, whatever. And California has their own bill, to protect at least 30% of the state lands and waters by 2030. You know, da 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 da. You know, it's the problem is California, almost 50% is already protected. It's already either conserved or state land. But the problem with this is it's an ambiguous bill about what protection is. And it could, especially for the fishing, because in it is proposed more MPAs, which are marine protected areas, which they like to say no fishing. zones. So I don't know what, but and you say, wow, that's California. They're, you know, left-wing wackos. Did you know we have a bill introduced in the South Carolina 2019-20 legislative session that is a 30-30 bill? Cogswell, Sottle, Cleary, McCoy, Hyde, Davis, Newton, Moore, Stavrinakis, Brown, Willis, Ott, Anderson, Elliott, Wheeler, Cobb, Hunter, Bennett, Cox, and Hennigan are all sponsors of the House Bill 5125 to amend the Code of Laws to enact the South Carolina 30 by 30 Conservation Act to establish the goal of protecting 30% of the state by 2030, to define necessary terms, to establish the 30 by 30 interagency task force, and to provide the membership of the task force to require the development and implementation of plans to protect the land and water of this state, and to require the submission of a proposed plan within a certain time period. The bad thing about this is it does not necessarily take into account private property rights. So you say, well, that's California. No, this is South Carolina. House Bill 5125. Go read it. Go read it. You have to be on your guard all the time. And I hate to be that way. I hate to live life that way, but you have to. All right, Taylor, you got a pretty good story here.
I've got a pretty good story that I'm not sure if I'll be able to get to everything, but if I don't get everything, go to Bassmaster.com and read it. The headline is an unbelievable lost and found story. And it's a picture of Brandon Polinick here with two hummingbirds.
Who just won.
Mm-hmm.
Lake Champlain.
Did. He had a very eventful week there. But after winning the Bassmaster Elite at Lake Champlain, Brandon Polinick was returning phone calls and text messages of congratulations well into Monday when he returned a text message from a phone number he didn't recognize. He met the guy in 2011, asked him if he had lost sonar units while competing on Lake Champlain. He's like, no, but I know exactly who those were. Happened to be Mr. Seth Fighter.
Fighter man.
when he clipped the wave, he got sprayed in the face. And after getting sprayed in his face, he assumed his grass were still hanging on, but they weren't. So he lost a 10-inch hummingbird. Let me see where it goes. A 10-inch hummingbird and a 12-inch hummingbird. So Solix and Helix. They had been knocked off, and he thought for sure they were on the bottom of Lake Champlain, but thanks to Brandon Polinick, he didn't lose his hummingbirds, and he recovered them. I don't understand how that happens, but y'all need to go read the article in depth about how they explained it. I'm telling y'all, some things are whack.
Whew. Oh, gosh. That's a 16-year-old statement.
Some things are whack. They are
some
whack.
Some things are whack. Okay.
Stating
all right.
Truth.
Hey, thanks for being here. Taylor, thanks for helping me out again.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tony Gray. And like I said, we're going to roll on with some deer hunting stuff next time around. So season starts next Saturday in Lowcountry.
Excited.
Y'all have a good week. Make time to get out there. Take the back roads. Don't forget the camera. See you next week.